How many of you doing well? How many of you remember last week?
I remember last week.
Me?
I was here.
1 Peter 1:2 is where we're at. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit. And we're in the process of learning about the sanctification of the Spirit. Last week we talked about this process that we're in, and how it relates to the rapture of the church. The whole process of the sanctification of the Spirit is described in Ephesians 5 in the relationship between husband and wife. And Paul said in that passage, if you'll remember, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Then Paul describes what he's talking about. It's more than just a marriage. He's saying, I'm saying this to you. It's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So he typifies the relationship of husband and wife between the relationship of Christ and the church. We looked at two different classifications last week of the church. It is the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Through that, we determine this. The whole sanctification process through the Spirit is happening to us right now. That's the process we're in called earth time. Because of that, and because of the Jewish custom of the ceremony of marriage, how many of you remember we talked about that and what all that is? The man would find the woman, make a contract with the father for his bride. Then he would go away and build a bridal chamber, and he would tell his betrothed wife to keep her lamp burning in the window because she don't know when he's going to finish and come back to get his bride, which indicates to us that the rapture of the church is at an hour that we don't know. No man knows the day or the hour of the return of Christ. With that said, we can have confidence based off of Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27. We can have extreme confidence that the rapture of the church takes place prior to the tribulation period. Now, if you look around us on the earth now, you'd think we're in the tribulation period. But it's going to get a lot worse. Okay? It's going to get a whole lot worse. And before the tribulation period begins, or before the Antichrist signs that seven-year covenant with Israel and the world, before that happens, the church will be raptured out. If that were not so, then you could determine exactly when the Lord was coming back, because the days are numbered explicitly. Daniel's prophecy is to the day from Daniel 9. This is probably the most important passage of Scripture in understanding the Bible that there is in all of the Word of God, is in the book of Daniel. Those verses indicate, Daniel says this. Everybody say, I'm listening. This is really important. Daniel says, from the going forth of the commandment to the rebuilding of the walls will be 49 years. He then says, from the rebuilding of the walls until Jesus is rejected will be 483 years. He was explicitly right to the day. It leaves 1 week. We're living in the interval between the rejection of Christ as king and the signing of that covenant that begins the tribulation period, or the start of that last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. We're going to look at that, study that more in detail later. And there's a reason why. All of that affects what we're talking about concerning the spirit world. How many of you got the chart here on the threefold nature of man? How many of you got one? If you didn't get one, raise your hand. Right here we've got Christopher, two. Back there in the back, Teresa. Hand those to the ones that didn't get it. And I have other charts for you. How many of you did not get a chart on the prophetic earth? Well, there's some reasons because we haven't handed them out yet. All right, so we're gonna do that, Christopher. So here's what we've discovered. It's important to the foundation of your understanding of Scripture. So this is it's extremely important in your view of the Scripture. Okay. Now, what these charts are, let me explain these. These charts was drawn by a man named Clarence Larkin back in the early 1900s. I view him as one of the a prophet of God. And I need to ask you a question based on that, if I can, just for a second. And it'll stretch your belief a little bit, maybe it won't. How many of you believe God can show you something before it happens? How many of you believe that? I mean, seriously, if you believe it, God can show you something before it happens. He can. Matter of fact, if you want to know the truth, the entire Bible is basically a history book that was written before history began. That's what it is. And that's what we have, for the most part, in the Scripture, is events that's about to unfold. In this diagram called the prophetic earth, we'll begin to locate, and I'm going to hand out another one in just a minute, but we'll begin to locate some things about the spirit world that is extremely important, okay? In this diagram on the prophetic earth, Clarence Larkin has it broken down in three different segments. Now, I'm not real, we'll talk about this in a minute. He breaks it down into the generation or the creation. Then you can see the degeneration, which is the timeline from the fall of man all the way to the end of the tribulation period. Then he has regeneration, where there's a new heaven and a new earth, also to include the millennial earth. Now, there's a lot of information given about the millennial earth. Some of you may be aware of these. Did you know that there's going to be a period of time of 1,000 years where the curse is going to be lifted from the earth? You and I will be here to rule and reign with Christ during that time. And the curse will be lifted from off of the earth. And the earth will be like the Garden of Eden was in its original state. In other words, there'll be no wild animals. The lion will lay down by the lamb. Yay. The boa constrictor won't constrict you. The cobra won't bite you. Little children will be able to play with snakes. Okay? Yeah. But they'll be beautiful, I think. And I think that they will take the same form as it was in the Garden of Eden. They won't crawl around on their belly. They'll walk upright. Okay? And so the curse is going to be lifted from off the earth. That's during the millennial reign. It is the earth restored back to its original point of creation during that 1,000-year reign. Then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Study the book of Revelation shows you all of the new things that there are. As a matter of fact, you're going to be given a new name. And that name's already been recorded. God knows it. And it'll be a name that He gives you. Isn't that interesting? I just celebrate the birth of my grandson yesterday. He was born, and his name is Cameron Jeffrey.
Oh,
all the celebration I get. Come on. Yeah, thank you. My namesake. He was given my name, and I'm just tickled about that. But watch this. Did you know that when I got saved, God gave me a name? I'm yet to hear it. But one day it'll be uttered from the lips of the Lord, and I'll know my name, what my name is. All those new things are recorded, and we're going to enjoy that during the kingdom reign. Here's the important part that I want you to understand. Right now, you and I are not living in the generation in this diagram, or that is that original creation, nor are we living on a regenerated earth, but we're living in a degenerated earth. Now, if you understand this real closely, you see that during the degeneration part, you have the fall of the serpent or of Satan, and then that goes all the way through this degeneration period. Look at the trail of the serpent up at the top. He's named the Prince of the Powers of the Air. And what we're looking at is something of reality that can only be seen through the eyes of the Spirit. Now, whoever stole my McKenzie's got them, actually, yeah. Give me one too, if you would.
need to ask.
Hand all these out. And this gives us a little more understanding in a little more detail of what we're talking about. Keep these charts. They will help you in studying and understanding the Word of God. A lot of these lines that's in these charts have scripture references to them, if you can see them. I was trying to get it printed off where they could be seen. But there's a lot of information on these charts that will help you understand basically the breakdown of the Word of God. And as we go through this study of the spirit world, it becomes imperative that we understand what's going on. Now, let me just, as soon as she gets all those charts handed out, it takes her a while because she's tired. This chart's called Satan, the God of this age. Satan, the God of this age. Now, as you look at this chart, here's something of importance. If you look at the very top where it says Satan, the God of this age, it gives you a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. But look what's written right under it. It's called the third heaven. Now, we've talked a little bit in the past about the third heaven. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said in his writings to the church of Corinth. He says, I was called up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Indicating there's three heavens. There is the sky that we can see. Then there is the second heaven that is beyond our sight. It is the spirit world where the prince of the power of the air resides. Satan is not in hell. His dominions, many of his dominions are. But Satan's not in hell. He is the prince of the power of the air. And the demonic forces that attack is also in the third heavens. Now, I want to read to you something here. We just touched on it last week. And again, keep your mind on the fact we're talking about the sanctification process of the Spirit. But take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 1. Verse 3, we're going to talk about something here that I think is significant, and it relates to all of the charts that we've handed out. It's going to be impossible to go through these charts in detail in one setting, but you can study it for yourself during that time. I want to read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Everybody say, I'm listening. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that you know that you know that you've been saved by God's grace? Okay. Listen to what is said about you in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Everybody say, all.
All.
Do you know what that means? There's not one blessing that you're exempt from. There is also not one blessing that you don't already have. This is actually, if you read this verse and you study it in the Greek language, and it reflects it even in the English, it's in the past tense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who hath already blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings.
Amen.
So, watch this. When we come before the Lord in prayer, say, and we're asking God, Lord, bless me with provision. Do you know what we're saying? We're saying, God, make me aware of the provision you've already given. We're not asking God to do something more. We're asking for ourselves to become aware of what He has already done. You're calling something into the reality of this material world through your spirit. Now look at your first chart, the one with the threefold nature of man. Okay? We're coming to the Lord. We're saying, God bless us. Let me ask you a question. How many of you would like to have the presence of God to meet with us today? Based upon the authority of that verse, I can declare to you that is a blessing that has already been given.
Yeah, I agree.
If we leave here and we feel as though there is a lack of His presence, It's merely because we're not walking deep enough into the spirit man. We're still walking in the soulish realm or in the fleshly realm. How many of you would love for the Lord to save the lost if there be any here today?
Amen.
We're asking God to bless us with something He's already given. The only thing stopping it is our soulish man or our fleshly man not allowing us to enter into the depth of our spirit. Please, everybody say amen to that. In other words, it's the invisible things that is more tangible and real than the material things. If we're merely walking through the evidence of what we see or hear, how many of you have ever walked into a room, smell a fragrance, and it sets an environment in your mind? That's why these ladies buy candles. Right? And why? Because it does something to the fleshly government that then causes us to feel in our soul. If you look at the nature of the soul. But where God's wanting to take us is someplace deeper into the innermost chambers of who we are. It's into the spirit man. Let me tell you, I know zero about computers. Matter of fact, I had to call Joe Barrett yesterday because I couldn't get a hold of Haley and I was embarrassed as I could be. I tried to call Haley a couple of times, couldn't get her because I didn't want Joe Barrett to know how dumb I was. All right? I couldn't turn my computer on, I needed help. Okay? So finally I called Joe Barrett. He remembered a number, a pin that it was called for. I didn't even know. You know, I'm so tired of having to have 15 different types of numbers to do anything in this world. That's the awfulest thing in the world. Nonetheless, I had to call him. But here's what I do know about a computer. There's a difference between hardware and software. Right? Yeah. Hardware has weight to it. It has mass. There's volume here. But if there's no software in there, then the hardware don't work. So you can take hardware and put it on scale and it'll weigh something. Fill it full of software and guess what? Weighs the same thing. But the software is the essence of what it is. Are y'all hearing me? Your spirit is the software.
Hey. That's good.
This body's just the hardware. There's weight and mass here, but the essence of who you are weighs nothing. It is spirit. And God's trying to get you into the belief and build your faith to where you can walk into the spirit, the essence of who you are, in order to claim the blessings He's already given you. Blessed be. Listen, we can park that. I'm not going to even get to the charts, I can tell you. Listen to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. What did you come here this morning looking for? It's there. You want your life changed? Life-changing promises have already been given. Walk deep into the inner place of who you are, and if you know Christ and you trusted Him as Savior, you'll run smack dab right into what you come looking for. But if you was just merely energized by your soul or by your flesh, then environment will affect you. Then sound will affect you. Then everything you see will affect you. I'd like for us to walk past that into the innermost chamber, into the Holy of Holies, and meet with God. That's a spiritual transaction that will change your life. I'll promise you this, you won't see things the same. You won't hear things the same. You won't look at things the same. Nothing about you will ever be the same if you walk into the depth of your spirit man. Now here's the important part that I want you to see about this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings, watch, in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. Can I give you a little news flash? You're really not here. You think you are. Your hardware is. You're going through the cycles of the material world, but in the perspective of God, you've already been raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places. Are you understanding a little bit?
Yes.
All right, now watch this. Here's the key deal that you need to understand. There is also environment in heavenly places like there is here. Just like there are here. And it's that environment that we really don't know a whole lot about. Simply because we live our lives based off the evidence of what we see in the government of the flesh. Or we live our lives in a soulish realm. And the writer of Hebrews warns us about that. The writer of Hebrews says, it is the power and the life of the Word of God that divides between spirit and soul. I don't know if you can grasp what I'm about to tell you, but half of the way you feel ain't real. You're being lied to. I want to ask you another question. How many of you know you're saved?
Amen.
According to that book, you have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So if you're sad, that sad is a lie. But you say, well, I'm really feeling it. I understand. You're feeling it in the soulish realm. Move from the soul to the spirit. You drop the sadness. You enter into joy. Now joy begins to permeate your soul and come out of your hardware. Because software is, you understand that? Look here at me. There was a time in my life, and I have people here that's known me. Joe's known me all my life. Ain't you, Joe? Pretty close to it. I mean, at least the time as you're sober and stuff. You know? That's right. Mark's known me for 115 years, and Mark was 150 when I was born. So. He's known me a while. Haley's known me for a while. Joe McDonald's known me for a while. Listen to this. Those that know me know this. Y'all know this. There was a time in my life where depression was a part of my existence. Ian? Depression was a part of my existence. To the point that I longed at times, if I can confess this and tell you the truth, I longed for death. I would pray for it. You know what was happening? Something was going on in my soul. And my soulish man was struggling against my spirit man. And I knew truth, but I needed to know truth. There's a difference between knowing it here and really knowing it to where you can experience it. It took me a long time to get to the place to where I could say, God, I know that my body and my soul is experiencing this and experiencing that, but in the spirit, all is well. In the spirit, I'm strong. In the spirit, I can sing. In the spirit, I can have joy. In the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, I can be free. It's allowing spirit man to infect soul, and it'll start coming out of your body. And as a result of that, you'll walk around and bombs going off everywhere, and you got your hands up saying, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I called the Hope of this week on Fox News. Somebody accidentally, I believe, interviewed a pastor in the Ukraine. And they said, hey, do you have any messages that you'd like to give maybe to Vladimir Putin? He said, yeah, repent, and know you're not God. Boy, he was full of boldness. He was full of courage. And I thought, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That man was walking in the spirit, and it was affecting his soul and his body. That happens in the spirit world. Now watch this. Listen to me. When you fly into the spirit world, and that's what it's about, it's flying high into the spirit world. When you do that, you're raised up in heavenly places, and you need to be aware of what is in heavenly places. I used to say this a bunch of times, and I mean it. I really mean it. Most people have no idea what real spiritual warfare is, and the reason is because we haven't graduated from flesh 101 yet. And if we do graduate from flesh 101, we certainly don't get out of soul 102. We haven't graduated from dealing with ourselves in order to even understand what the environment is in the heavenly realms. Look down in verse 17 of Ephesians 1, same chapter. I'm going to read to you several verses. I hope you'll lock in now to what we've said so far. Keep me on time. I don't want to go too far. But look at verse 17. We read it last week. We'll read it to you again. This is based off of the foundation of Ephesians 1:3. Matter of fact, look at me one more time. The Word of God is designed so accurately. If we did a study on just how the Bible is put together and all of the hidden codes that are in the Bible that are there just to authenticate to you how wholly inspired it is. Did you know that the Bible is so accurate that man goes about trying to find out all these scientific discoveries and all they have to do is read the Bible because it's already in there. And all that stuff is there just to authenticate to us that the Word of God is true. Now look, here's how it's designed. One truth serves as the foundation for the next truth. And then that truth serves as a foundation for the next truth. So here's the way it works with us. We'll take a truth and we try to understand it. But it's laying on 15 layers of truths down here that we have no understanding of. Therefore, we'll misinterpret this truth. Think we got it right, but we don't. And then the enemy will come along and call us into question over that, and doubt seems to form. It's because we don't understand what? Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. Righteousness lays on the foundation of faith. There can be no righteousness without faith. You first have to exhibit faith, then faith in God, and that releases the righteousness of God to you. So you have to have proper understanding of faith to understand righteousness. Everybody say amen. So Ephesians 1:3 sets the standard. Here's the truth. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now we get to verse 17, and it says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This cannot be learned through the eyes or the ears into fleshly ways. In other words, you can't take the Bible and learn it properly by studying it like you do a math book. Do you understand? Now that has to be done. We have to do it in that form, but what we're looking for is a spiritual transaction. We have to have the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. It's not enough just to know the words. The Bible even says this. The devil knows the word, and he shakes and trembles. What we're looking for is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Something that is not taught, but it's caught. We have to have that. We have to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Watch this. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. See, you can't even make sense out of it unless there is this giving of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. You can't get that in your soulish man. You have to get that in your spirit man. You got to flee into the software or the essence of who you are to receive wisdom and revelation. And then the eyes of your understanding is enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. I'm reading it fast so that I don't stop and talk about it because that's so rich that you can't hardly believe it. All of this is according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, watch this, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, where? In the heavenly places. So now we've already established something. You've been raised to sit with him in heavenly places, right? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And what kind of authority does this bring? Finish reading the text. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians, let me just read to you quick. Everybody say, I'm listening. I'm going to read to you verses real quick. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It can be no greater evidence than that. There's nothing else I can tell you. He hath raised us up together to sit with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 3:10, here's the purpose of you being in heavenly places. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
Amen.
All right. Quickly, I'm trying to lay a little foundation here. In order for you to be victorious in the Spirit, it requires a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, because your purpose is to declare to principalities, to powers, and all things that reside in the heavenly realms the wisdom of God. You're supposed to declare the wisdom of God. You're supposed to declare the wisdom of God. And hear me. It's important that other people, other bodies, hear what you say. But can I tell you, that's not the sole purpose? You are called to speak to demons and principalities about the wisdom of God. Paul goes on to describe in Ephesians 6, you know the scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers. Y'all are not hearing this. And the rulers of the darkness of this age. And even spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The entire book of Ephesians is declaring to you that you're really not here. How many of you seen the movie The Matrix? It's probably true. Everything around here in the flesh, it's not really real. The things that are really real, you haven't seen with the physical eye. Paul tells us this in other places. I have not seen. Ear has not heard. It's never even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But through the Spirit, he hath revealed them unto us. I'm telling y'all the truth. The entire book of Ephesians is laid out that way. He says we wrestle against principalities. This is the first order in the rank of a demonic hierarchy. They have principalities that govern territories. Did you know that Satan is not God? He can't be everywhere at one time. Did you know that? But he has principalities assigned to certain territories where he's doing certain things. I would love to tell you, there's so much that I'd love to tell you, and we don't have time. If I get started, I won't get done. Then we've got powers. He said, you know what a power is? It's one with delegated authority or influence that carries out the instructions of principalities. Then you've got rulers of the darkness, and it's designated to this world, of this age. Rulers of darkness. There's a whole big teaching about the rulers of the darkness of this world. Did you know the entire Bible is all about governments, kingdoms, nations. The entire Old Testament's about the building of a nation that we know as Israel. The whole Old Testament is about Israel, the building of a nation. There is significance to the rulers of the darkness of this world. Did you know that's the reason why that the scripture says about Jesus, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Jesus come to establish a kingdom. He even told the rulers of his day, my kingdom's not of this world. You can't see it. You're a part of that kingdom. Why are y'all not shouting right now? You ought to be just completely elated about the fact that you're not really here. You're in heavenly realms, seated with Christ. Right? He goes on to talk about spiritual wickedness. That's being apart from fleshly, but an evil that derives from the spirit. Colossians 1:16 says this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him. Thrones indicate powers or a potentate. It's interesting, it's in the plural sense that in the heavenly realms, there's already thrones, plural, that principality sat on. Okay, you with me so far? 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaks expressly, but in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Evil is instructed by invisible creatures into the essence of the weightless mass of who people are. Y'all with me? It's the same way. It's the same way that God instructs his children. Now, here's Here's what we're going to take it in this direction. Here's what I mean. You've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, so the environment's important. Here's your environment. Demons. Yay. Evil. Wonderful. Darkness. Deception. That deception's geared toward you, by the way. It's to tell you lies. Not necessarily about somebody else. We can do that ourselves. They just want to lie to you about you. The principalities are designed to convince you of your own debauchery and wickedness. So that you enter into conflict over yourself. But there's something else in heavenly places. Angels. Not just demons. Do you understand that that's where you're at today? I described for you the real environment of where you're at. You're in heavenly realms with principalities, demons that have assignments from Satan himself. But there's also angels there. Listen to what the book of Hebrews says, chapter 12, verse 22. It says that these angels are innumerable.
Hey.
And can I tell you that angels have power? Do you know that? As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Just one angel. Did you know that it's only going to be one angel? Michael. The archangel that's going to bind Satan and kick him out of heaven, and you and I get a ringside seat to watch it happen. We're going to be there when that happens. War in heaven between the devil and his angels and Michael. And Michael kicks him out. The archangel, he shows up several times. Gabriel, boy, he's a powerful angel. Mighty angel. Appears a couple of times in the book of Daniel. Comes down to visit Daniel to give him a message. He also announced the coming of Christ. And can I tell you that when Jesus comes in the middle of the air, it's Michael, the archangel, that's going to shout. The trump of God and the voice of the archangel. So loud that the dead in Christ are going to rise. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. In other words, our reality becomes real. And this hardware is laid down, and I get a brand new hardware. A brand new body. A brand new body. Are y'all out there? Matter of fact, that could happen today.
Man.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be just amazing? Did you know that this would be a perfect place, I believe, to go to heaven from? I wouldn't care. What if the trump would sound in the next 5 minutes? Can I tell you, if that was a living reality in our lives right now, most of the stuff we struggle with, we wouldn't even pay attention to.
Amen.
We wouldn't even pay attention to. So, I'm here to tell you that the sanctification process of the Spirit is happening to you now. And it's designed for you to flee in the Spirit into the living reality that is yours now in heavenly places. You're there whether you want to be or not. You might as well pick up your sword, get the wisdom and revelation of God, and become a demon slayer. Destroy those things that you struggle against, those affections of your soul that's not in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Some of you, I look at you right now, and you've lost so much joy. You need to go by the heavenly gas station of joy and fill up. It's free. You with me? Why are you so sad? Do you know that our captain of the host is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's never lost a battle? Did you also know that nothing that's happening on earth takes him by surprise? He already knew about it before it happened, wrote us a letter about it, tells us to read it, understand it in the Spirit so that we can have joy, peace, satisfaction, contentment. You say, oh, well, the person I work with treats me so bad. What? What? That's crazy. But you don't understand, I've got it so hard. You've got it hard. I can read to you about people that had it hard. Let me tell you how good you have it. You're soaring right now in heavenly realms among a group of angels that's saying, hey, look at that demon over there. And you can spout forth the wisdom of God and watch that demon destroy. And it affects the earth. That's the part that we didn't get to. How it affects this hardware. How does it affect this virtual reality? Because you can have effect. I'll close with this. Did you know that there is something greater than the nuclear warheads they talk about on the news? Something a whole lot more powerful. You know what it is? It is the Word of the Living God. I find something interesting, and I'll close. This is a little practical thing. Find something interesting. Y'all remember David and Goliath? God used a little boy, a teenage boy, with a stone to face what we know, if you've been following the teaching here, we know it was a Nephilim. He was part of the antediluvian age, Goliath was. He was a hybrid between a demon and flesh. He was the leftover remnant of that. Okay? That's what was going on before the days of Noah. Demons was coming from the heavenlies, taking on human form. They intermingled with women on the earth, and they had offspring. And they were giants in the land. All that's in Genesis 5. And watch, here's what it says. It says, and they were there then and afterward. Uh-oh. And then Jesus came along and said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. Oh. Big study there. What I'm telling you is that God used a little boy with a rock to bring down a giant over 9 foot tall with a spear. Gideon was going to battle one time and it was 32,000 that arrayed themselves against him, and God cut his army down 300. Zechariah then said this, don't despise the day of small things. Russia's got a mighty army. A mighty army. Wouldn't it be just like God to take some little small, insignificant place or people that didn't have nothing but a rock? Wouldn't that be just like God to put evil in its place? You say, can that happen? Oh, it could absolutely happen. I'll tell you what can bring it about. People that know where they're really at in the heavens. To begin to speak the manifold wisdom of God and let the air permeate. Over in Israel, this is a thing about that. Over in Israel, this happened a few years back. Some of the terrorists sent a rocket to blow up in Israel. It was headed in that direction. And somehow, mysteriously, a wind blew it off course and threw it out into the water. Well, that was just weather. No, that was God doing this. That was some angel would come down and put his finger on that rock and just point it in a different direction. Y'all think God can do that? He can if people know who they are. I want you to know who you are. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Teach us truth, God, that'll set us free. Teach us truth that will do for us what we need done in our lives. Make us what you would have us to be, mighty warriors, soldiers, intercessors. Bring us to a place, God, where we can absolutely love on you with a deeper love. And obey you with deeper obedience. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.